You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's up, everyone? It's time for another episode of Restore the Floor, your Detroit Pistons podcast with some other NBA stuff mingled in. Joining us now is the one, the only, Evan Jenkins. What's up, Ev?
You know, I'm wonderful. I just would be even more wonderful if the Pistons could have pulled off that win last night. I mean, boy, do they dig themselves holes in every single game.
I know people, well, Cade Cunningham didn't play. That's why they lost 115-111. No, I'm sorry. Toronto was missing more. When like you're missing more. Van Fleet and Siakam, come on. I mean, and if you had the name Delano Banton on your bingo card to lead the Toronto Raptors, and I believe it was his second career start with 27 points, then good for you. Chris Boucher with 20 points. And, Ev, to me, it seems like it's the same thing every game. They can't defend. And statistically, it points it out. They are last in the NBA in defensive rating.
That's not good, huh?
They can't play defense. Now, this is no excuse, but when you look around the league and you see the other teams in the same boat as the Pistons, the lottery teams for the last few years, Houston and Orlando, they don't defend very well either, and I think it is symptomatic with young teams. But, man, I thought yesterday, especially early in the game before the Pistons made the ill-fated comeback, it was like a clinic, the way Toronto was moving the ball, the pressure defense. You never see the Pistons do that, do you?
No, and then, like you said, the way that Toronto was able to skip the ball from getting it into the paint to then skipping it out for three.
Yes.
Listen, my man, number 25, I don't know how to – is that who we're talking about, but or Boucher?
Yeah.
But he – listen, the kid looks just like Siakam, right, when he first came into the league. And I thought it was him, but this kid's just taking it to the rack, no problem. I mean – it was good to see Marvin Bagley back out there and actually contribute.
Yes.
That is nice. But I just don't get, and maybe this is the novice in me, but the lack of being able to defend the pick and roll is crazy to me.
I know. Well, I'll give Dwayne Casey credit. He realized, because of Bagley's injury early on, the Pistons and the youth of Jalen Duren, when he gets in foul trouble a lot, they had to do something with the starting lineup. They had to get bigger. So Sadiq Bey, who's been struggling from the outside, goes to the bench, and Bagley is inserted in the starting lineup to play with big, you know, beef stew. Now, of course, Isaiah Stewart gets hurt after 13 minutes of play, so that doesn't help. But Bagley, you know, he was okay. You know, 16 points, 5 rebounds. He's a presence, but not a huge defensive presence. If you could take his offensive skills with Nerlens Noel's defensive skills and clone them, then you'd have a player.
Well, I think Noel's been saying that since he's been in college, and he was still the first overall pick.
I know, and I can't shoot.
Oh,
he was probably the first one of the first. I think it was the first one in the process.
Yeah. Process is still going, man.
Yeah, I know. Going. I mean, the good news, if there is any good news with a team that is 3-12, Jaden Ivey. You know, without Cade, he's continuing to excel. He's not shooting the ball great, but he, you know, crunch time, 21 points, did have a few untimely turnovers. Bogdanović didn't shoot great from the outside yesterday, 2-for-8 from three.
But teams 18 are just locking in on him.
Yes, they have to figure out. He tries to create too much, I think.
I agree.
Here's the other thing about Jaden Ivey, and I don't want to be too critical on a rookie because I think he's been better than I thought he was going to be quite honest with you, this early on in his career.
I didn't think he was going to be that confident to go straight to the rack.
Correct.
Like he does.
But he sometimes does that stuff where he goes baseline behind the basket and he gets trapped, and I'm thinking, is this Ish Smith?
If I have one knock, and I understand that he's playing because of injuries and so on, I don't know if Isaiah Livers is an NBA player, man.
Yeah.
I see him out there and you can't shoot 35% from the field.
No.
36% from three when that's your main reason you're out there. People like his defense.
Right.
But
He's just a guy. And look,
but should he be playing 20 minutes a game?
No. But these guys get in foul trouble a lot, too.
It is crazy.
That's part of the problem. Well, Diallo's another one. There's certain times he looks really great, but he's so out of control, gets called for charges like he did last night. And you mentioned, you know, the three-point shot. They are 27th in the league three-point percentage, you know, at 32.7%. That's not going to do anything. They're last in the NBA in field goal percentage. Well, the object is to put the ball in the hole.
When your three main guards, I guess four, Corey Joseph's not included here, and Ivy, Cade, and Killian, who's the best three-point shooter out of all of them? It's Cade, and I wouldn't even say he's that great of a three-point shooter.
That's a big problem
when your starting guards can't really knock down that shot consistently. Yes.
I'll give Killian some credit. He's playing with a little more confidence. He looks like he belongs in the league. Is he ever going to be a star? No, I don't think so. But, you know, and everybody's going to, you know, go back, well, he's a bust. Maybe we'll do this on the next pod. We'll go past, look at the last, the people that he was picked seventh, if I'm not mistaken, right? Look at all the seventh guys who were picked seventh and see how good they were. A lot of them weren't. So he's, you know.
Yeah,
it's disappointing because they could have had Halliburton, but that's a whole.
Yeah, but then even the Kings gave up on Halliburton super early.
Yeah, which makes no sense to me at all whatsoever. You know, you don't want to play the stats game too much. Another thing that is really, and it really bothered the Monday night and bothered me Monday night, and is free throws. I mean, they missed 12 free throws. Do you realize that they lead the league? They lead the league in field goal attempt, free throw attempts. Well, they get to the line more than any other team, and it which stunned me until I looked it up because it always seems like they're not getting calls. So they get to their hole, they get fouled, and they're only 16th in the league in making them. You can't go to the free throw line that many times and miss free throw. I mean, even like Monday night. Even Bogdanovich was, 3-for-6 from the line? I mean, that's not going to get it done.
It's wild. And I wonder and I sit back and I think, A, is this going to be an extremely long season, which it's kind of shaping out to be right now. Yeah,
it's all about Victor.
It is. But at the same time, we're I mentioned it earlier, novices in the NBA when it comes to coaching and what puts players in the right positions to win games, but where can they improve in order to start winning games? I mean, you go out west where historically the Pistons don't do very well.
Yeah, you ready? Clippers, Lakers, back-to-back, you know, same court. Kings, Nuggets, Jazz, Suns, okay? So that's six games. Realistically, I'm happy if they win two.
Yeah, and the Nuggets is one maybe. And they're starting off the Kings to a good
sometimes.
Year. The Kings.
The Lakers, you never know what's going to happen, who's going to play and who's not going to play. I mean, the Lakers, you know.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
they should have. They should be in the lottery, but they don't have the pick. It's going to go. Can you imagine if they would? Can you imagine New Orleans wins the lottery and has Victor with Zion?
Oh my goodness! I'll buy those tickets. We talked about it on the first episode of Players to Go Watch.
Yeah,
dude, have you even been seeing these highlights of Victor like in this whatever they're playing in now? Oh my god, like,
it's crazy.
The kid misses his own shots and has his own putback dunks. Like I don't see that very often.
Right, and you mentioned how can they get better, and I think coaching is a big part of it. Especially on the defensive end. And I know they stress it. Well, there's something from the message that's not getting across because they don't play very good defense. They don't seem to play hard defensively. They play hard offensively. I don't think they're giving up or any of that stuff.
Not at all.
No. I mean, it is a young team, and it's almost like the Lions where, okay, what do you want to see this season? I know, especially now, but even going in, I knew people were saying, oh, they can make the play-in. No, they couldn't. I mean, I didn't think that from the get-go. I just want to see Cade, Ivy, Duren just get better because it takes time. And it's going to be a long season for that.
Yeah, and Ivy, I mean, I watch Jaden Ivy every game, and it's the same kid that we saw at Purdue, right? The only difference is the competition has gotten way better because the Big Ten, as much as we like to gloat about it here in Detroit, Michigan,
it's not very good.
No, you see it in the NCAA tournament every year. They get knocked out early, right? They beat each other up. But I want to see the improved three-point shot with him. Mm-hmm. And if it's not there, it's okay, right?
Yes.
You can be an NBA. Richard Hamilton did very well for himself in the NBA by never really shooting the three.
DeMar DeRozan.
Perfect example, right? He developed it later on in his career.
Yeah.
But if it's not there, I understand that's the new dunk in the NBA is the three-point shot.
Right.
Dude, do what you do well, man. Get to the line. Get to the rack. Dish it out. Like, how you have that much energy, I understand he's a young kid and everything, but he goes 100% at all times.
Look,
so
everybody says that, Paolo's the lock right now for Rookie of the Year, but honorable mention, Jaden Ivey's right in there. He's had a really good rookie season. I have no problems with him whatsoever. And Duren, in the minutes he plays hard. Right? What did you expect? I mean, he was teammates with Amani Bates last year, and they're the same age.
Yeah.
And Amani Bates is playing at Eastern Michigan, and Jalen Duren's playing for the Detroit Pistons.
Yeah, and they both reclassified to go in early.
Yes.
And they're super young kids, and they're, like I said, raw. That's what he is. Like, listen, if you've watched basketball, played basketball, had a kid that played basketball, anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
The best AAU players, the best high school players in this world are treated a little differently than the kid that's grinding out there practicing, right? The best of the best, they become the best because they work harder than the rest, right? But when you become a 7-footer at 16, 15, 17 years old, you're still developing into that body, right? So you don't have your up and unders. You don't have, like, Anthony Davis in high school was a freaking point guard.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it takes a while. And an offensive set, especially in the NBA, where you don't really play low on the post anymore, it's going to take time. But what he's doing, he's excelling at offensive rebounds, the putbacks. I mean, just having a big body in there, which the Pistons don't have much of.
No, that's why they made this, and I agree with the switch in the starting lineup. We'll see what happens on the injury situation with Isaiah Stewart, because if he's hurt, I don't think they're going to start Bagley and Noel at the same time.
No, Noel's interesting too, but how many minutes a game can that guy play?
I know, not a lot. Yeah, tops. And by the way, I do want to mention Alec Burks in the games he's played.
Played wonderful.
Yes.
Dude can fill it up. He looks like a random Joe sitting on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
But when he puts on that jersey, I was watching the game the other night before he first played, and I thought he was like a coach or something.
Right.
I didn't know, because he doesn't have the clean-cut haircut everything.
I know.
But boy,
he'll be very valuable to some team at the deadline.
He's legit, man. Yeah. He can fill it up.
He's a really good shooter. So they have, like we mentioned, the road trip coming up back-to-back at the, it's not the Staple, at the crypto.com.
It's always going to be the Staples Center, right? Comerica's Tiger Stadium to some people.
To some people. So, we'll see how they do. Like I said, if they can win two games, that would be good. And, next podcast probably be after the Laker game.
Yeah.
Which is on Thursday, I believe.
Clippers game is Thursday.
Okay, so
we can do
one before in between the LA games.
Yes, we'll do it Friday. We'll return Friday.
Yes.
We'll talk. Hopefully, God, you just hope to see increased improvement from the young guys.
Do you want to mention Monday night, the debut of the Saint jerseys, paying
what
tribute
do you think?
To. I like them. I just wish they were a different color. Which, how do you like it? Because if you were just walking in a restaurant, a sports bar, and the game was on, and you weren't paying close attention to it, said Detroit on the floor, you would have no. I was sitting there saying, wait a second, it looks like the Bucks, looks like the Celtics, and you even pointed out another team that it looked like.
The late 80s, early 90s Dallas Mavericks. I remember, like, Fat Lever playing in those
The
uniforms.
Rolando Blackman, yes, Mark Aguirre days.
Yes, like, they wore them as throwbacks a few years ago when Dirk wore them.
Yes.
And that's what they remind me
they're,
of.
I thought they were really nice. I don't want to sound like old guy. The Pistons have five jerseys for this year. Now the teal's only going to be for this year.
They have the white.
The blue.
They have the blue. They have the teal. They have the St. Cecilia.
And they have those black ones that say D-E-T.
Weird black ones that are a tribute to the 80s Pistons with the Michael Jordan logo on them. I'll stop there. So they got rid of the grays and the reds?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. NBA's crazy with uniforms. Like, I even feel old because I'm so used to them just wearing those Pistons home red, white, and blues tonight.
Right, exactly.
But it throws me off. But so be it. If kids are out there, I mean, I love the shorts. Like the shorts are really freaking cool.
Really, really nice. And
have you been to St. Cecilia's?
No, I was never there.
And I need to go too. I mean, you watch the videos, you hear about it. I mean, you hear. I wonder if like these intense games are still going on today. If you know, send me a tweet or send Stoney a tweet at Stoney16 or me at King of the KC.
Yeah.
I would love to go and watch one of those. I don't care if there's not air conditioning or anything like that.
No, because I love watching games like that. I love watching, you know, I went to Moneyball one year up in Lansing one year. I like to watch that stuff.
They say it was the Drew League before the Drew League. It was the indoor Rucker. I mean, listen, I'm 39 years old, so I wasn't privy to see Bob Lanier play there or Isaiah or anything like that, but I would really like to go see that. I mean, I played AAU all throughout Detroit and Southfield and everything, but never got to step in that gym.
You weren't good enough to play and get invited to play at the Saint then, huh?
Isn't that crazy? I don't think that they let, 5'11" white guys that can barely shoot the three and can't run that well.
Exactly. All right. We thank everybody for listening. We appreciate the support. This has been Restore the Floor. Hopefully the Pistons can restore something coming up soon. See you later.